So you want to sit next to me? Oh, good, because I wanted Grandma to help you find the place if you want. But we're going to go to Luke here, chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, I just want to point out something to you here in Luke. When Jesus Christ started his ministry, this is just after he was tempted of the adversary, right? He comes back out of the wilderness. God has angels minister to him. And he comes back out of the wilderness and he comes to his own hometown. And when he gets there, he goes into the synagogue. All right, we're going to be in verse 14, Luke chapter 4, verse 14. It says, and he returned with the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and his fame where went out a fame, the fame of him, through all the regions round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Then he comes to his own hometown, Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the ministers and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? You know, they were there wondering, they were amazed at the gracious words that came out of his mouth. And then it turns real bad, because their attitude from this point is who is, isn't this Joseph's son? You know, they didn't think much of Jesus. And he said unto them, surely, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. And whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in this thy country. And he said, verily, I say unto you that no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you the truth. And he gives them two examples. One is in verse 25. But I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Zipporah, a city of Zion, or Sodom, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elijah, when the prophet, and none of them was clean save Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath, tremendous anger. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the borough of the hill of the city, where it was built, that they might cast him down headlong. I wanted to kill him for that. Two records. I want you to go to the one record we're going to go today. And I want to, we're going to 2 Kings chapter 5. when they heard Jesus Christ, first of all, if you read the other gospels, they believed Jesus Christ was a bastard child. Nothing good could come out of that house, could come out of that family. They thought that he was an illegitimate child, that his mother was a terrible, terrible woman. And she had a child out of wedlock, which in that culture was capable, a person was capable of being stoned to death for doing such a thing. In other words, Mary had a terrible life. You know, to do, to have the Messiah, to do God's will, and then to be treated like absolute garbage all your life because of it. Guess where Mary's going to get her reward? Think about, in the new kingdom, she's going to get her reward. You know, Jesus Christ, think about him, okay? The Messiah, the Son of God, a man who loved, healed, walked around, gave God's word power, just preached the scriptures, and what'd they want to do with him? Kill him. From day one. The adversary tried to turn him just before that record we read. He went out, preached, did great signs, miracles, and wonders, preached the gospel of the kingdom, comes to his own hometown, goes to fellowship, goes to the synagogue, finds the place, and tells them that this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And then, isn't this Joseph's son? What are you kidding me? That was their attitude. This is a disgrace to have this guy reading the scriptures, speaking like this. This is a disgrace. And then he comes back and he gives them those two examples. And, you know, I always read this record. I always loved this record of the Naaman, the healing of Naaman, the leper. I always loved this record, and I always thought it was a positive record, you know, to teach people about healing. But that's not what Jesus used it for, was it? After he was done telling them about this record, they wanted to kill him. And I really wanted to show you in the scriptures why Jesus used this record. It's a tremendous record. I love it. It says in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him Yahweh hath given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper." God Almighty calls this man my servant. He's also conquered Israel, God's people, because God's people, guess what? They deserved it. They had turned away from God. They had turned away and forsook the Lord, and nobody believed. So guess what happens? God uses the unbelievers to bring judgment upon you. But he was an honorable man. He was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him Yahweh had given deliverance unto Syria. And he was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. The man had leprosy. And the Syrians had gone out by company and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid. They took captives, they put them into slavery. And there was probably quite a few of them. But there was this little girl that came unto, and she waited in Naaman's wife. So she was put in the household, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God that my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. A couple of things, really. First of all, you're a slave in somebody else's house. You've just been taken captive, ripped out of your own life. And yet you're showing kindness to this household and saying, you know, if only the master of the house, Naaman, would go and see this prophet, and he would recover him of his leprosy. In verse 4, it says, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go. Now go immediately, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter unto the king of Israel, saying, now, this is another thing. You don't, if you want something, you are asking for mercy and you want something, you never go empty. Even if you're the conqueror, you're going to the person you've conquered. You want that favor, you bring something. And he brought the letter unto the king of Israel. Now he went to the wrong guy, didn't he? The girl said the prophet. But, you know, well, why would I go to a prophet if I got a king? That's natural man's thinking. We're just going to go to the top guy. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, and that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeks a quarrel against me. He's trying to start a fight, because I can't do this. And it was so, even Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes. And he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. It doesn't say you will know, or the people in Israel know, but this guy is going to know that there is a prophet, a man of God in Israel. So Naaman came. Obviously, the king sent him over to Elisha. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Now, just think about this. You know, when you got the president comes into town, you got the motorcade runs down the block. You got the cops in front, the cops behind them, Secret Service all around. They cut off all the, street lights and every intersection. And so there's no traffic. When you're president, there's no traffic. You know, not like the rest of us. There's just no traffic for that guy. Can you imagine? Here you got an entire entourage that's come from the king of Syria, the conquering. And he's got his best man, Naaman. And he's got all these camels filled with gold and silver and raiment. He's got servants. He didn't come alone. And they went to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel says, hey, and then Elijah says, send them over here. So they make a U-turn. They head down the road to Elijah's house. I mean, here they go from the palace. Then they come to a neighborhood. And they park out front. You know? They probably cut the lawn that morning. It says, and Naaman came with his horses and his chariots, and he stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him. He didn't even come to the door himself. Elijah doesn't even come to his own front door. He sends a messenger saying, go wash in the Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Now, is this what the man has come for? Be healed of his leprosy, right? But you got to remember, these are all very worldly people, aren't they? King of Israel thinks he's trying to start a fight with me. I mean, he don't really believe that there's a prophet in Israel. The king would, doesn't. Nobody does. But God's working this whole thing out. In verse 11 says, but Naaman was wrought. You know what wrought means? He was really, really angry. First of all, the prophet didn't even come to the door. He sent one of his helpers to go. The guy knocked on the door. He sent one of his helpers there and said, just go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be whole. Close the door. Boom. This guy was losing his mind. You don't treat the conquering soldier sent by the king this way. Nobody treats me this way. I'm sure that was running through his mind. So he was very angry, and he went his way and said, behold, I thought, and this is where people go, right? This is what he was thinking. I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hands over the place and recover the leper. He wanted, what a lot of people want. They want a show. God simply gave the word to Elisha. And he said to his messenger, go tell the king to wash in Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will come again whole. You'll be whole. This guy wanted, I'm important. I'm important. He's got to come out, present himself to me, call upon the name of the Lord, and strike his hand over the place. And magic. This is what he thought. Well, you know, God, first of all, it's not always what you think. You know, God's ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts. I mean, that's a given, I think, for all of us. But it's never, none of the great blessings in my life have ever come the way I thought they were going to come. You know, but look at the arrogance of the guy too. This is not exactly, and then he's got an even better excuse. Verse 12, he says, are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Israel, I mean, the Jordan is a muddy river, from what I understand, compared to the mountain streams in Syria. Nice, clear, you know, like Bush beer, you know, the commercials they give you, Bush beer, and all the, you know, Rocky Mountain Springs and all the rest of that. Yeah. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He losing his mind. He's thinking, there's other rivers that are better than the one he told me to go in. This guy must have been a halfway decent man. First of all, the little girl talked to the wife about, you know, I wish he would go to the prophet. He could recover him of his leprosy. I mean, there was compassion there for him. He must have been a halfway decent guy. I mean, I would think so. And now his servants are going to take their lives in their hands and say, and verse 13, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, would thou not have done it? If he had asked you to climb Mount Everest, you know, and stand on the peak and call out to the Lord for healing, you would have done that. How much rather when he said to thee, wash and be clean? The prophet just said, do this. And when he then went he down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. When you do what God says, you get what God has promised. Now, this guy, I can't say that he was a wholehearted believer, can you? Arrogant, angry, filled with rage because of the way he was treated, the prophet, the word, it wasn't what he expected. Look at God's mercy here. So he gets healed. And then it says, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. Here comes the entourage again. And he came and he stood before him and said, behold, I know. Now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, this is amazing to me. This is a man who's just figured it out after he got healed of his leprosy. He didn't believe that before. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. And he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. You know, like I said, customarily, you're supposed to bring the gift and then receive the blessing, right? Or the help. But God doesn't want the prophet to receive a blessed thing from this man. Because you know what's going to happen. Because then he's got to bless him. Yeah. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Now Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. And this thing the Lord pardon. In this thing, the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto them, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Jesus Christ had said to the people, you know what? The only leper that God healed was Naaman. Because the people of Israel didn't believe that the Lord was with them. They didn't believe that there was a word of God, a man of God. They had no faith at all in what was going on. So you know what God did? God said, embarrassed all of his people and gave an example. I'm here. This man knows that there's a God in Israel. This unbeliever, this man, the only reason he got healed and blessed was because I wanted to show you that you are unbelievers and that I am present and I am here. See, God's always with his, he's with those that believe him. And he's always there, period, even if we're not believing him, right? He, in the manifestations, he's always with us. He longs after us. He desires us. He wants us. And whether we believe or not, he's present. You know, I hear people all the time after, I just want to see miracles. Well, you are a miracle. You are a miracle. And God has given you his spirit within you. He has promised you eternity. He has promised that he'll never leave you or forsake you. You are a child of the living God. And the miracle that Naaman received, God gave it to him, but it wasn't because he was such a good guy. It wasn't because he was a believer. It was to reprove and to give an example to the people of Israel that there is a God in Israel and that there was a prophet in Israel. And that king that sent old Naaman to Elisha, he really didn't believe it, but he was happy to pass the burden on. And you know what? After this, he still doesn't believe. And Israel still doesn't turn. Now you know the reason why they wanted to throw Jesus off the mount, off the hill, and kill him. Because he put them in that same category. Here they had a man that was preaching the gospel, the Messiah himself, healing people and doing wonders. But when he came to his own hometown, he could hardly do anything because of their unbelief. See, it's our attitude towards the word of God that really determines everything. And God's going to get done what God wants to get done. God is not, because you don't believe doesn't mean God can't work. God wants to get something done, it's going to be done, plain and simple. And he'll do it any which way he chooses, right? So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. And if you read, it's one of my favorite records in the scripture. I just love it. You know, and the other things is, if you do exactly what God says, that's what Abraham did, right? As far as faith, it says that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. All right, but he kept it. In fact, go there. I just close with that verse in Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. When God gives a promise, and we're going to go Romans 4, verse 20. Actually, we'll start in verse 19. It says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. And that word he considered, it's he considered deeply. He really thought this thing through. He considered deeply, not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. I mean, she was 90, he was 100. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he, Almighty God, had promised, he was able to perform. If God has given you a promise, he is well able to perform it. You take his word and any promise that he has given us in scripture, you keep it in its context. You have to rightly divide it, obviously. But any promise that he has given us, he is well able to perform. And Abraham didn't stagger at it. He wasn't wishy-washy about it at all. He just believed that God was able to do what God promised. And any word, it doesn't have to be fancy. Now, Jesus said to people at times, he just simply said, be it unto you according to your faith. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't need a whole hoopla like most people expect. You just don't doubt that God is able to do what he says. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. I love you all, and hopes I see some of you at the picnic we'll have a little while. And I know many of you can't come because of distance and time. But Brielle, I would like you to close us in prayer, okay?
Okay. Thank you, God, for all that you have done for us. Thank you for all these miracles that you have performed for us. Thank you, God, for just being our Father and being there for us all the time, especially when we need it. And God, I pray that Jeremiah has a good future ahead of him, and help him to walk and help him have a big miracle. And God, thank you for all these believers that believe you, and that we can share that, and that we can live in America so we can share God's word with everyone. In your son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you guys.